Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is the Win Tracy recording. It is 11:25 a.m. and that is Pacific Standard Time. And today is November 22nd, and it's the Thanksgiving holiday in the USA. So happy Thanksgiving to anyone who's celebrating it. But it's been a relatively quiet day on markets. But as we can see here on the World Equity Index page on Bloomberg, the vast majority of indices were in negative territory, with the exception of Brazil. Then, what I think is also interesting is if we look at the performance of currencies. Well, the vast majority of currencies are in negative territory this year. The Mexican peso is a clear standout. Just about everything else is pegged to the US dollar. But the Japanese yen has been pretty much unchanged all year against the US dollar. So that's rather interesting, considering that we have had something of a flight to quality. But what it does suggest is that the dollar and the yen have both gone up by approximately the same amount relative to just about everything else. Now, when we think about what's going on out there in the wider world, well, there is the additional, and I'm going to post this chart in here today. If I can just move the thing out of the way, it's this central bank balance sheets chart that I've taken from that Morgan Stanley report I posted on Monday. Well, we can see that the trajectory of that black line from lower left to top right is very similar to the central bank totals chart that I've compiled, and it also demonstrates that the total of central bank balance sheets has been contracting, and it's come down by approximately $1.5 trillion since the middle of the year. In fact, I think it's since March, to be more accurate. But that the pace of this decline has started to moderate, and in fact it ticked upwards just recently. Well, this is I've often regarded it as the most important chart in the world, because we've had a liquidity-fueled bull market over the last decade, and the withdrawal of liquidity has been a contributing factor in some of the increased volatility that we've had over the course of the last while. So the big question then is, what's going to happen in terms of the performance of various currencies? If we look, for example, at the dollar index, well, it has broken the downtrend evident for all of 2017. It found support in the region of the upper side of this underlying trading range. And now it has been trading with an upward bias above the region of the trend mean for much of the last 6 months. So the big question is whether it is going to continue to hold the region of that trend mean. Then when we look at the renminbi, well, China has been trying to curtail credit, and what that has resulted in has been a pretty serious decline in the stock market. It has also been put some pressure on the property market, but all in all, their restriction of credit has not really been a restriction, but it's been a return to something approaching neutral, and yet they've had a really quite deleterious effect on asset prices. So China is beginning to come around to the idea that this credit tightening is something that they don't have much appetite for. So we're also getting to a point with the USA where I think, unfortunate set of circumstances is that the Wuxia shadow banking index that was created by a couple of chaps at the Atlanta Fed was they stopped updating it in 2015. But what it did help to, I think, really ram home is that, despite the fact that the headline figure was not negative interest rates, that the advent of quantitative easing in the USA represented a really quite profound, extraordinary monetary accommodation episode. And when they started to taper, that was the beginning of the withdrawal of that monetary accommodation. So unfortunately, this has not been updated to today. But what we do have is we know, for example, that in 2015, well, that was when the Federal Reserve started to raise interest rates. So that really took the monetary condition from negative into positive, and now we have seen 8 interest rate hikes, and there's due to be another in December, which we know then that the interest rate today is around the 2.25 level. It's likely to go to 2.5. Well, that is representative of the progression of lower rally highs. So we are the Federal Reserve is beginning to talk about getting back to neutral. So this is a logical point at which they could decide to pause. Well, it is usually when central banks make mistakes that you can get crashes or you get really big problems in the stock market and asset classes generally. And what we are starting to see is evidence of some credit tightness coming through because high yield spreads have been breaking out. But oh, really, that's only a correct to say that they're breaking out in the USA. They've been trending higher all year in Europe, and they have been the clearest evidence of high yield spreads that have been trending higher is in Asia, and most particularly in China, since they have more high yield debt than just about every other emerging market combined. So that also helps to highlight the fact that China's experience with credit tightening is they're going to have to progress extraordinarily delicately, and they may have to abandon the entire prospect. Well, that's also going to represent a central bank mistake, and then you really are talking about a bubble. So that is the I think the position we're at right now, because we know already that asset prices have gone up a lot, and that has been justifiable because of the relative value argument compared to extraordinarily low interest rates. So it's really only justifiable if you continue to have extraordinarily low interest rates. Well, that is a potential outcome that central banks have will begin to encounter this pushing on a string type of condition that Ray Dalio has been talking about. Well, that is what we would anticipate from the last episode of a major credit market or a major credit cycle. So we are potentially at a point where the central banks will stop tightening, then and then monitoring that central bank balance sheets chart is going to be all the more important. I would love to be able to put this into the chart library, but Bloomberg restricted the ability to do that about 3 or 4 years ago. This is a custom index, and you can't export these any longer. But certainly, I'm keeping a very close eye on this and look at it at least on a weekly basis. Well, I've often regarded it as the most important chart in the world, but if it had any competition, it would be this one. And this is the Merrill Lynch Total Return Index for 10-year Treasury futures. Well, this trend has lost consistency. There is no doubting that. When we zoom in a little and simply look at it over the last year, it's been largely range-bound. But when we take in a little bit of additional history, well, we can then clearly see that there is a sequence of lower rally highs that's been evident since 2016. So that I think begin to really ram home the point that when we think about the bond markets, they have been trending lower now for much of the last 3 years. And that is a condition that is rather important, considering just how long the bull market persisted for. Well, 40-year bull markets don't end with a whimper. They generally end with a war going on between supply and demand, and that is exactly what we are getting right now. The 10-year, 10-year, excuse me, the 10-year U.S. Treasury is testing this 3% level. Well, that represented the upper side of the underlying trading range, and it now it's going to approximate the region of the trend mean in the not too distant future. Well, it needs to hold that move above 3% if the downward bias to trading is going to continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. But then, of course, we have this big question that is sitting out there about what is it that the Fed is thinking about. The very swift pullback that we've had in oil prices is going to start to moderate inflationary pressures pretty soon. This has been very consistent on the downside over the last 6 weeks, and rallies have been restricted to approximately $3. So a move of more than that is going to be required to really signal that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Natural gas prices have been very firm on the upside, but now they're coming back up towards, or well, they're encountering resistance at the upper side of this longer-term range, and $5 has been a psychological Rubicon over much of the last decade. Nickel prices continue to trend lower. So there is no shortage of supply apparently in the nickel market right now, and this has been a very consistent trend, but it is coming back down towards the lower side of this evolving range since 2016. So there's certainly an oversold condition evident right now. Well, when we look at what's going on in Europe, and then obviously Brexit is a major consideration, and so is Italy. Well, I'm sure that the Europeans would love to get Brexit behind them so that they could focus more on the immediate threat of what's going on in Italy. But the Euro Stoxx index was in negative territory in here today, and it really has an awful lot of work to do to repair some of the technical damage that has been done. Then, when we look at the pound, well, we know that the draft agreement has been agreed. Well, it's a political declaration on what the content of the subsequent talks between the UK and the EU are going to be. So that is a document that is not legally binding, and yet it is still going to require a vote in Parliament, and it doesn't look like there is any chance at the present moment that the UK government is going to be able to push it through without mass defections from the Labour Party. And the Labour Party smell blood in the water. They really think that they have a chance at an election here where they could do well enough to put Jeremy Corbyn into Downing Street. So that has to be one of the most or it's the clearest rallying cry for the Conservative Party to get their act together and support their Prime Minister, lest they end up in opposition. Well, the pound has rallied in here today, and it has bounced from the region of its low put in on the last day of October. Now, this it's still holding this sequence of higher reaction lows, but it absolutely needs to hold that 112 area if potential for higher lateral ranging is to be given the benefit of the doubt. There is the potential that we could get a rally over the next few weeks that takes us up to the vote in December, and then the price comes back down again. That's the nature of ranging markets, that you tend to get a great deal of volatility, and I think that that is the base case. Well, the FTSE 100 today was the leading decliner in Europe, and it was down about 1%, and it's still holding at the low put in October and the lower side of this evolving trading range. But it does need to hold the lower side of that range, considering that it's around this 7,000 area represents the upper side of what is effectively a 16-year base formation. Well, if the UK or if the FTSE 100 is to be given the benefit of the doubt, it really should hold in this area. And the FTSE 250, which many people regard as being more representative of the economy, has also bounced from above its October low, and that 18,000 level represents the upper side of the underlying trading range. Well, we can also see evidence on this chart of ranges that have tended to dip one into the other. I think it would really require a recession to really suggest that we are going to clearly break the consistency of this, what is, I guess, a less than consistent trend, that there have been occasions when it has had these rather lengthy and deep pullbacks. Well, it's certainly one of those. But the bigger question right now is whether it is going to be something more than that. Well, then I think then the 18,000 level is going to be a big psychological region for this index. And with all of this uncertainty, then gold has been firming from this $1,200 area. But the dynamics are still on the downside. It has really taken almost 2 weeks to unwind the decline it took 3 days to put in. So this has been a modest advance. But if central banks move back onto a stimulative footing, then that's less likely to be bullish for the dollar. And if the dollar starts to unwind its advance, well, that's likely to be beneficial for gold, but it's also likely to be beneficial for emerging markets. And emerging markets have at least stabilized. The most recent upward dynamic has been upwards, and it is now pressuring the sequence of lower rally highs. Well, the biggest constituent in the emerging markets index is Tencent, and the share has pulled back incredibly violently, but it has a very large upside key reversal, and it hasn't quite followed through on the upside, but neither has it continued to go downwards. So there is the potential that we are at a low of, well, we're at a low of short-term significance, but potentially medium-term significance. There is the potential that if the dollar does start to weaken, well, then that would be rather beneficial for a significant number of these emerging markets. Indonesia, for example, is right in the region of this 6,000 level and the region of the trend mean. In here today, the Philippines signed an energy exploration deal with China, and the stock market has at least steadied from this 7,000 level. The currency, which has been among the weakest over the course of the last 5 years, has strengthened through the 200-day moving average. Now, the big question is whether it can effectively hold it. And the Thai market has also come back to test the upper side of its underlying trading range. In here today, the South African Central Bank raised rates for the first time in a while, and that has contributed to the rand strengthening through 14. So now it is testing the region of the trend mean. This is a big area of psychological resistance. But if it can firm through it, well, then that will have broken the rand's downtrend. Now the big question for Mexico is the extent to which it is going to remain one of the best performing currencies this year, because this does not look like a bearish chart for the dollar. It does look like we're going to see additional upside here. So when we think about the potential for the dollar to weaken, then we don't see a lot of evidence for it in the broad markets just yet. It is certainly more in the countries that are raising interest rates where we're seeing some additional strength against the dollar. When we do take a step back and think about where we are, well, we've definitely been through an extraordinarily volatile period. That's been particularly the case for volatility on the NASDAQ, because of very deep pullbacks that we've seen on shares like Apple and Amazon and Facebook and Netflix. But the other side of it is that the S&P 500 has been less volatile, and the VIX, it certainly has held this move above the 15 area, but it hasn't been especially volatile. It's certainly not as volatile as we saw back in January. Well, That also tells us that a lot of the volatility was in single issues. The biggest selling pressure has been in the semiconductors index and in the FANG index. But then when we look at the at anything that pays a dividend and that has the potential for dividend growth has generally tended to hold up better. Now that's equally the case for shares like Microsoft as it is for companies like Coca-Cola. Well, that is representative of a rotation that is going on. Well, Coca-Cola is working on a downside weekly Q reversal. And that was a significant move that we saw yesterday. Sorry, not yesterday, 2 days ago. And we did have downside follow through yesterday. Now, what that suggests is that the highly defensive sectors that people have been really surging into as a way to hedge their exposure to interest rate sensitive instruments are now unwinding short-term overbought conditions. But by the same token, if we are potentially on the cusp of moving back into a risk-on environment, well, then there are a lot of very deeply oversold shares within the technology sector, but also within anything that is interest rate sensitive. And what I find interesting is that we are starting to now see some buying pressure coming into some of the most shorted stocks out there. So, for example, the are not just stocks but instruments. The 5-year perpetual junior unsubordinated perpetual from GE was at a yield of 21%, and now it's at a yield of 17.8%. So that's a significant bounce that we've seen over the course of just the last 2 days. And what that does suggest is that bargain hunters are starting to come back into this market. Campbell Soup, which has been the subject of one of the most aggressive downtrends over the course of the last couple of years, well, it did pull back from the region of the trend mean yesterday. Now the question is whether it is going to start bouncing again tomorrow and into next week to break that downtrend. Then, if we look at some of the other companies that have got low PEs and high dividends, well, Pitney Bowes, for example, has been trending downwards for 5 years, and that was a big upside weekly Q reversal about 3 weeks ago. So it's not to say that we don't have bargains out there, that there are a significant number of shares that have pulled back in an extraordinarily violent manner, and that this is the kind of environment where you will have bargains that have presented themselves. I think it is arguable quite how deserving of such an enormous decline, 50% just about in the space of about 8 weeks for Nvidia, considering that it is producing the kinds of chips that will be required for autonomous vehicles. Of course, we don't have any autonomous vehicles just yet, but that does suggest that there is a growth trajectory out there on the horizon. Whereas the way it's being priced right now, it's as if it's going to go out of business soon. Well, Bitcoin has been trending lower, and that is weighing on some of those graphics card producers. And ranges are explosions waiting to happen. The amplitude of the range had been contracting. That lack of volatility in one of the world's most volatile instruments was not going to last, and now it has broken down, and there's no evidence that it's over. That is potentially weighing on some of those graphic card producers. But I do think that we are on the cusp potentially here of something changing, and we do have short-term oversold conditions. So I don't think that this is the time to be becoming progressively more bearish. And something that I have been pointing out is that I haven't had so many bearish reports cross my desk in years. And That's generally an indication that people have already sold, that they are wishing the price would go down further. So I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.